Hello and welcome to the Uncharted podcast, where we explore possibilities in higher education through uplifting conversations and inspiring ideas. I'm Tara Hargrove, one of your hosts for today, and with me is today's co-host, Becky St. Clair. Hi, Becky.
Hey, Tara. I am super excited to be here today. It's going to be a fun podcast.
I think so. For our listeners, thanks for joining us here on Uncharted. Today, we're going to be talking with Victoria Wambua. Did I say it correctly?
Yes.
Awesome. Yes. A new math professor here at PUC, about her journey into mathematics, what drew her to teach here, her teaching philosophy, the challenges and opportunities she sees in helping students engage with math, and what she hopes to contribute to the PUC community both inside and outside the classroom. Welcome to the Uncharted podcast, Victoria.
Thank you, Tara.
Yeah, I know we were talking a little bit before we got started about where you've come from and what kinds of things you've done before. We were kind of chatting briefly, but can you just share with us again a little bit more about, like, what is your academic and professional background?
Yeah, I started my journey in Kenya, where I, of course, went through my, we used to call it primary, and then I went to secondary, and then I went for my first degree in Maseno University. And I did my Bachelor of Science in Education, Math and Physics. Okay. And then after that, I got a scholarship as a graduate assistant in the math department to do my master's in pure mathematics. And then after that, I wanted to do math education. At that time, they didn't have math education at my university. And in most universities in Kenya, they didn't have that area. And so I made some contacts during conference sessions at Syracuse University. And, you know, they asked me to apply. And I got admitted for a math education program in Syracuse University, New York.
Wow.
Yeah, so professionally, I taught, of course, in Kenya as an assistant professor before I came to the U.S. They called us tutorial fellows, but it's equivalent of an assistant professor here in the U.S. And then after my doctorate, I went into high school teaching because I was hoping to get a position in assistant professor of math education, and they wanted high school experience. So I went into high school teaching, and I gave myself 5 years. I said after 5 years, I should be able to look for, you know, jobs in math education. Mm-hmm. But then I continued teaching. After 5 years, I got a call to teach in another high school in Florida. And then at that time, I realized I think I was going beyond my 6 years, 5 years of, you know, high school teaching. And so I had to now begin looking for, you know, higher education. But of course, prior to my high school teaching at Florida, I had taught also part-time in community colleges in Minnesota before I moved to Florida.
Wow.
So I was a full-time high school and also part-time community college math professor, part-time. So. Yeah, so that has been my journey.
I don't know how
journey.
That fits into one day. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, so yeah, I didn't want to lose that connection with higher education. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I still wanted to have the high school experience and also keep my connection with high school, higher education math, I mean. And so, you know, yeah. I think now I'm back to where I wanted to be. I've always wanted to be. And so
yeah,
that has been my kind of like over 10 years of teaching in colleges and also high school math.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's a interesting, you know, journey through that. What kind of inspired you or made you realize you wanted math to be the subject? You know, when you were little, was that something you always wanted to do?
Actually, no.
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 Short answer, no.
Nope.
Okay.
You know, growing up, I was told math is not for women, is not right. for females, you know, mm-hmm. like, but my dad was a passionate math teacher.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he was so successful. Whenever you go to the market those days and we meet people, grown up people, they call him, oh, my teacher, that was my math teacher. You know, I was like, wow, he must have been a great teacher. But then I knew math was not my thing. But he kept telling me that you can be a medic. I want you to be a medical doctor, actually. Oh. He didn't want me to be a teacher. And so going through my high school, I knew I wanted to be a medical doctor. Mm. And so I didn't want to, but I knew I needed math to become a medical doctor.
Right.
But I was not successful in my earlier years. So let me tell you what happened.
Okay.
I never used to like math. But when I got to my fourth grade, my math teacher was a female.
Mm.
And she saw my struggles. I was always like ranked the last, second, third from, you know, the bottom.
Oh.
In math.
Really?
No, overall. But math was kind of like what brought me really, really down.
Okay.
Mm. And, but she saw I had a potential. I could do it. And so she just supported me. Just gave me extra things to do, homework, and I cooperated. Whatever she told me to do, I did.
Mm.
And I came to her, you know, asked her, you know, I did it. So what next? And so working with her, doing my best and her doing her part, I was successful and I began liking the subject. Mm. So by the time I'm finishing my middle school, I knew I loved math. When I went to high school, I knew I was going to make it.
Mm.
As I was going to become a medical doctor. Yes. But when I finished my high school, I applied, of course, to medical schools, but we had to make like two choices, choose three different schools. I mean, not two, three. So apparently, or unfortunately, I missed my medical school by a point. My GPA was less than a point. So I couldn't get into medical school.
Oh.
But guess what? My second choice was high school teacher, math and physics, mathematics and physics. And that's what I, you know, got admitted for. And that's what I went with. I said, after all, my dad is a successful, passionate teacher. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can make one.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got into, you know, math education and teaching.
Wow. The power of having a good teacher and one that sees your potential, not just what you're doing, right? So that was, and that it was a female for you. So it was somebody that you could kind of see yourself doing that, even though you saw your dad do it, right? But it was nice probably to see a female doing that as well.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a transformation too. Yeah. Like the, from being so frustrated and struggling to this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Passion, which I'm excited about what that means for your teaching. Especially in math. And we're going to get to that. I know.
Yeah.
But first, I would like to know what brought you to PUC. How did you end up here? And what stands out to you about being part of this community?
Oh, first of all, let me say how I got here. Because as I told you, I wanted, after high school teaching for some time, I wanted to go to higher education. So when I went for my last high school in Florida, that year, I had a lot of pressure to go to higher education.
Mm.
I guess because I had set my goals 5 years high school, 5 years high school, and then I go to higher education.
Yeah.
So I think my coming to PUC was, I don't know if I should say it, but I think it's God who designed that I come here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because this position showed up in my, when I was searching Adventist jobs, this position showed up at a point where I was supposed to decide whether I'm returning or not returning at my high school.
Mm.
God's timing, right?
Yeah. And because I was feeling a lot of push, like you need to go to higher education now. It's time to go. It's time to go. And every voice I had, even from, you know, friends, everyone around me was like, it's time to go. So when I saw it and I applied and I got interviewed, I knew this is just God. And this was the right time for me to come. So PUC is special. I first of all, because of the fact that it's connected to my prayer life, because it happened at a time when I was praying and, you know, trusting God. So that makes it very special. And of course, coming here, I realize that it's really a beautiful place to be in because of the people around here, you know, the environment it is situated. It's just so peaceful here.
Yes.
Very peaceful. I like quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like peaceful.
I don't like noise. I like quiet.
And, I'm with you.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I've really enjoyed so far my stay here. And and even it's how it was started. I feel like it's a very special place to be in the history of our church.
Yeah.
And I just feel like everything is just connected. It's just divine.
Yeah.
Appointment. And it's a big challenge for me.
To be, follow God where He wants you.
Where God wants me to be, yeah.
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 Well, we're glad you did.
Yes.
I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're getting to know you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I want to know what excites you most about teaching math to college students. I know I had a good high school math teacher, kind of, he was a male, but he kind of saw potential, and I ended up doing really well in math when I didn't think that I even liked math or anything. So having a good teacher, like we said, is, I think, really important in math, because math can be very scary. I mean, communication, right? Math is not natural for me, but what excites you most about teaching math to college students specifically now?
Yeah, so college students, I believe that these are people who have gone through the journey, math career. You know, they've gone through, you know, all the stages of math. And at this point here, they are looking at math that has meaning, is going to add value to whatever paths they want to take in life, whether they want to become, you know, nurses, we want to become data scientists, they want to become engineers. So they are looking for math that is meaningful. Mm-hmm. And so that makes it, that excites me most, because we're going to have meaningful conversations. True. On how is this going to be an add-on to what programs they are doing. And I believe it's a motivation for them to really work hard. I believe so. I am looking forward to students who are curious to know, to see how these concepts are going to be meaningful in what they are doing. And they are willing to do research, dig deeper into how these things are going to apply to what I'm doing and make meaning. So that part, I think, makes it special for me, and, you know, excites me about teaching college students.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I know you were, I'd mentioned a little earlier, I was excited about this next question, actually, from what you were saying, because you mentioned your struggles with math early in life. Mm-hmm. And I know that what you were just saying is absolutely true. There are, once they get to this point, they're in math, they're expecting it to take them to the next step in what they're hoping to do for a career. But you're still going to also, I think, have some students who are intimidated by math, anxious about it. It's kind of one of those subjects. I know, like, I struggled with math, and I still do. It is, numbers are not my thing. Letters are my thing. I write. I'm an English major. I am definitely a word person. So numbers are hard. And yet I still had to take some math, even though I was an English major. So you're going to have also maybe some students who are a little intimidated by this subject. How do you approach, and I feel like your background and your personal experience is really going to help you here, but tell us how you approach students who are struggling with that.
Yeah, so... yeah, throughout my teaching, I try to, yeah, I have in mind that not all students are the same. They come to me with different, you know, experiences and, you know, backgrounds in math. And of course, yeah, we're going to have those who are anxious about the subject. They feel like they cannot make it. So what I do is I begin my teaching with the growth mindset videos. Sometimes I put them on my syllabus, on, you know, whether I'm using Canvas. I just put them there and tell them, hey, these are some inspiring videos you can watch. I like watching videos like, you know, brains grow. You know, like your brain can grow.
Yeah.
You know, and that video kind of takes away the myth of there's, you know, some people have math brain. You know, it takes away that. It's a very nice video by Yucubians. And Another video that I like sharing with my students is mistakes are part of growth. Because some students don't want to try because they feel like they're going to make a mistake and they don't want to make mistakes. Nobody wants to make mistakes.
Right.
So I tell them, like, it's okay to make mistakes. In fact, when you make a mistake, there's part of your brain that sparks. And when you correct that mistakes, your brain grows.
Mm.
And that is where I come in now. I want you to make mistakes, and I'm there to support you and show you what the right thing to do is. So I encourage them not to get scared of that. And I, of course, share my own experience. I wasn't born with a math brain. I wasn't. And I can't even believe that I'm doing math. I don't know. And that's when people say, oh, you have such a special brain. I'm like, no, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even know how it happened. Because all I know is that it takes some perseverance. Mm. You got to persevere. Mm. Because some problems need a lot of steps. Some students are not willing to persevere through the problem-solving process.
Mm.
You tell them, try it. What do they say? Just show me how to do it.
Yeah.
If you're not doing it, you are not learning. So you have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, think of my experience. If I didn't do what my teacher told me to do, practice when she gives me extra work to do at home, if I didn't do it, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Yeah.
So, you know, it needs personal effort, dedication, perseverance, and, you know, just curiosity. Be curious to know. Don't just stop at what the teacher is telling you in the classroom. Go and explore more and find out, can I do this by myself? Can I even try harder problems? So that's what it takes to do well in math.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good life lesson too, right?
Yeah.
So that's, a lot of people say math, what does it have to do with real life? When am I going to use this? But just that perseverance, right? And learning to work through problems and to be okay with figuring it out, making mistakes along the way. That's how we should be in all of life.
That's a hard lesson to learn, though.
Yeah.
I was telling some friends recently that I learned at Duke University, they have a course that's literally called How to Fail. And the teacher, the professor gives them assignments that they have to complete before class is over. And he knows they are impossible to complete. He purposely gives them things that are impossible to complete in the time that they have. So they're inevitably going to fail. So then they come back and after the time limit and they discuss, what did you learn? What would you do differently next time? How did you approach it? How would you approach it next time I gave you this assignment? If you were going to do it over again right now, what are some things you would change? So, and then how do you apply that lesson to everything else in life? So honestly, I want to take a class on failing because I feel like that can really be beneficial. But I love that idea of learning from mistakes, picking yourself up, starting over again. That's definitely something that applied to me in math.
Yeah. I'm not sure I need a class in failing. I think I've done enough in life. I don't need to practice it anymore. But but I do love that because I teach public speaking, right? And we kind of talk about that. You don't have to be born a public speaker, right? It's about figuring out how to do it and persevering and learning about it.
Yeah.
And same thing with math.
Yeah.
I'm an old person now, and I just took an accounting class, financial accounting graduate class.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is terrifying. And it was really hard, but it was so interesting to push my brain, like you said, and to grow your brain in a different way. And I think that's really cool to be able to do. So do you have a favorite aha moment you've seen in students that keeps you motivated? Like that moment where the light bulb?
Mm.
I don't have just one, but there's just a collection of things that just keep me motivated about students.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when a student is able to make connections between concepts or just connecting what I'm teaching with real world, and this, is this why this happens? So when I was teaching the formula for finding the shortest distance between two points, and then a student, we drew a right triangle, and then I asked them, why do you think this is the shortest distance? And so they were able to make connection and see, it's the hypotenuse. If you take the two legs, add them together, the distance will be longer than just taking the hypotenuse. That's why it's called the shortest distance formula. You know, when they make those connections, you know, that fills me with joy.
Yeah.
You know, I also like when students who once thought they won't make it, they make it. Mm. To me, it's an aha moment for me because there are students who really struggle, but then they get to a point where they realize, oh, I need to do this and this to just make it. And they turn out to be successful.
Mm.
You know, those are just my moments of celebration.
Yeah.
I know that's talked to people who work in records or the ones who see the journey of the student from the moment they get here until they walked across the stage at graduation. Mm. And I was talking to some of them last graduation this summer, and they were saying, like, there are some kids that they see walk across that stage every year. They just are like, they did it. That's my kid. I'm so proud of them, because they see the struggles, the setbacks, the perseverance, the determination. So yeah, I can totally see. Yeah. I'm not a professor, so I don't get to see those light bulb moments as often, but yeah. I think that that's an incredible, incredible experience that you guys are privileged to experience in your careers.
It is a privilege, Becky. I think you would enjoy it.
She's trying to get me to teach for her department. Yeah. I keep saying no. I am not a teacher.
But you can learn, right? Yeah, she can persevere and learn and grow.
Yeah. Stop recruiting people to your class.
Sorry.
Do you have a particular class you're looking forward to teaching?
Yes, data science class.
Oh,
okay.
You know, I have taught math and statistics before. Mm-hmm. But recently, like not so recent anyway, but like 3 years ago, I began developing interest in data science.
Hmm.
I'm like, what is this thing? Everyone, it's like data science, data scientists.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's everywhere, you know, AI and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's all connected to data science, you know. So I said I want to do a program in data science.
Mm.
And so I enrolled with MIT for 12 weeks program.
Okay.
It was very intense, but I got to learn a lot. And so I feel prepared to teach data science.
Oh, good. Nice.
And so I know it's going to be both exciting and challenging, but I'm looking forward to, you know, teaching, you know, data science using programming languages like R and Python and all that kind of stuff. So I should say my brain has grown.
Yes.
You know, I struggle with difficult things, and I feel like my brain now has reached a point where I can, you know, learn like anything I want to learn.
Yes.
Because my brain has grown. So I'm ready for the challenge, and it's going to be exciting for me.
Wow.
I think it's really cool for students to see the staff and faculty on a campus doing development of their own, because I think that there's a misconception. I don't know if it's so much anymore, but I think that it used to be like someone I work with calls it the sage on the stage, like just standing up there and telling you everything I know and I'm the expert. And in reality, like, we all always are going to have more that we could learn. And if we maintain that curiosity, like what you're talking about, then that's what's going to drive us forward.
Yeah. Becky, you know, I tell my students, I don't know everything. I tell them, I don't know everything, and we're going to learn together. And so don't look at me as like as a sage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to be, they say, I'm not a sage on the stage, but a guide on the side. Guide on the side. So I'm here to guide you as we learn together. And so you guys can teach me. I can teach you as well.
Yeah.
So let's teach each other and have fun with you know, with the lesson. So. Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of us are lifelong learners. We're in this field because we like learning too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think teaching is learning. And I definitely learn new things all the time for sure.
Yeah.
So we kind of talked about this a little bit. How do you see math shaping the way students think outside the classroom?
You know, math is everything. If you open your eyes since the time you wake up until you go to bed, you have seen a lot of math.
Interesting.
When you wake up, you look at the clock, you have to do calculation. How much time do I have to get to my office?
True.
That's math, right? And you need to know, like, how, what time should I leave the house so I'm not late? Mm-hmm. That's math. And, so you know, we see math everywhere. Look at math in even with your money, with your spending. You see math in... of course, you are budgeting. You see math in the bills that come in your mailboxes. There's math, a lot of math in how they calculate the utilities. You know, your phone bills, that's a lot of math.
Just seems like a lot of subtraction to me coming out of my account.
Yeah, but there's a lot of math behind how they come up with your bills.
That's true.
Right? Yeah. And there's a lot of math in even the credit cards, how they do that, and a lot of math everywhere. Even, you know, math is even in, you know, restaurants, how they are making those, you know, recipes and how they are measuring the amount, the mixtures and all that.
You know, I have to say about restaurants that I'm really happy that they finally started printing on the receipt what an 18, 20, or 22% tip is. Because
you can't do math, Becky, is what you're saying?
Again, I'm an English major. So what I actually, okay, here's my trick, though. If they don't put that, I always calculate 10% and double it. That's like my hack when they don't include it.
Yeah, same.
So there's math everywhere. And I think you just keep our eyes open and we'll see it everywhere. Everywhere. Yeah. It's everywhere. Even when you buy an item, you look at the amount of calories per serving, you know, fats and all that. That's math.
Wow.
Everywhere.
Even going shopping when they have sales.
Yeah.
My daughter's like staring at the sign going, what's 30% off of 25? And I'm like, oh no, I don't know. What's 25 divided by 3? I don't know. So yeah, but you're right. It is. It's everywhere.
Even in the news, when you watch news and they say like 20% of people, I don't know what, they just polls everywhere. They do surveys and all that. That's data. Mm. And you know, it's math everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere.
Yeah. Especially data science. Yeah. There's a lot data science, statistics. Yeah. Especially now. Nowadays, there's so much data out there and number crunching.
I think that, like, you know, I was just kind of joking. Like my daughter said, what is 30% of off of $25? It makes me nervous when I have to do the math. And I kind of have these callbacks to when I was in high school and sitting in the teacher's office trying to figure out my algebra and struggling and crying. And I'm just like, no, I don't want to go through this again. But I think that a lot of people have misconceptions about how challenging math is, because I remember once I figured it out, I was like, oh, is that easy this whole time? It's like there's just some switch that has to click somewhere in my brain. And you have to have that right teacher, like what you guys were saying about somebody who can have the patience to flip that. So wait till that switch actually flips. Because I think we have to flip that switch ourselves.
Yes.
The teacher just helps show you where it is. And anyway, I'm curious if you could get rid of one misconception about math, what would it be?
Of course, I mentioned one that math is for certain people. That's something I don't want anybody to believe. I am a living example of that math can be for anybody.
Yeah.
I cannot emphasize that more than I've just said in this podcast, that math can be for anybody who is willing to persevere, who is willing to be curious, who is willing to just do math. It can be for you. It can be for me. It can be for anyone. And so that should just, people should just take that away. That's it's a myth.
Do you think there's an area of math that should be, that's kind of underappreciated in general, that people should pay more attention to?
I think modeling, you know, application, showing the meaningfulness of math. That is something that I think all math teachers or professors should really, really emphasize. And every day, try to get your students to appreciate the value of math. I want to share a quick story. There's a student. I gave them a test at the end of the year. And he did this test. He did his test. And then on the back side of the paper, he wrote, I don't think this is going to buy me any groceries.
Oh dear, that's a challenge.
It was a challenge. I of course I laughed. It's funny, right?
Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah. I don't know if he's gonna get me any groceries. But then it was a challenge to me that this student is struggling to see the value of what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that spoke to me volume.
Mm.
And I feel like even if you are teaching pure math, which is so abstract, try to get some things out there, because there's still some application of some of these,
mm-hmm.
and just use that to show your students the value of what you're teaching them.
Mm.
At least every week, or as much as you can, try to speak about the value of math.
Mm.
Even if it's beginning a class with maybe a quick discussion of some life application and just get people talking about it, you know, that's going to keep them motivated. So, you know, modeling, you know, showing them the application of math, you know, it's important.
That's where that's experiential learning comes in.
Yes.
You have to live it to really grasp it.
Yeah. I think that's an important piece.
Yeah, for sure. I'm still stuck on the 30% of 25.
I don't know the answer.
750, right? Minus.
Yeah, you just multiply 30 by 25. What do you get? 750, and then you divide by 100. That's going to be.
Oh, it's so simple.
So simple.
Yeah, that's if you go with that, if you change 30% into a decimal, it's going to be harder. A lot of students mm-hmm. have difficult times multiplying decimals.
Yeah.
So.
I'm sure you did it a much more complex way than me. I just did 10% and then tripled that.
Yeah, I just multiplied.
Divide by 3 and then estimate.
There's so many ways, right?
There's different ways, and that's why I love math.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many entry points, different ways of doing, you know, and then you get the same answer. So, yeah, that's the beauty of math.
That's cool. So I want to shift a little bit to what challenges do you anticipate as you settle into your role here?
Yes.
The sigh.
Yes, I've been teaching the college where I taught. It was a semester long course. And here I'm teaching a course in 10 weeks.
Mm. Yep.
And I am getting students, as we talked, you know, before, who have different backgrounds. So my challenge at this point, and sometimes I'm waking up in the night to think, how can I do this? How am I going to be able to complete the content of this course in 10 weeks and make sure that my students are engaged and people are moving, they're progressing, and no one is left behind. So mm-hmm. that's my biggest thing right now. Mm-hmm. Even after identifying the main concepts that I think, for example, if I'm teaching engineers trigonometry, you know, I've done research on what topics they need. Even after filtering to what they actually need, I still feel like it's going to be a lot to cover within 10 weeks. And so that's where I am right now, but I'm just trusting God, because sometimes you just need God's intervention here so that things work out and that everything just goes well. But that's what I'm foreseeing as a challenge. You know, it's a transition for me, because I've always taught, you know, semester long classes, not quora. So
especially I would think with math, because you have to try different problems and practice.
I know,
a lot of, right? You can't just say, oh, I got this problem.
So
I know how to do this now.
Yeah.
But then, there's another one that's just a little bit different that, so you have to practice a lot.
I want to engage my students. Mm-hmm. I want to, and engaging students takes time, because you want to get their thinking, you want to support their thinking. So that's always what I've had as my challenge, my wanting to engage students and also the constraints of time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm praying that somehow it gets to work out. Yeah.
I think there's opportunities in the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always my mindset. I will admit that right now.
Yes.
What opportunities do you see in PUC's math department for growth or for connecting math to other fields?
Yeah, of course, I see there's going to be a lot of growth for me. For once, I mentioned that I'm going to be teaching an area that I've always wanted, you know, I've developed interest in.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an opportunity for me to, you know, prepare myself well and teach a new area that is that has been of interest to me. So that's an opportunity for growth for me, I see.
Mm.
And also, of course, you know, just interacting with the different people that I've never interacted with before, yeah. you know, meeting new students yeah. and building those connections. Mm-hmm. You know, leaving those marks, you know,
yeah.
I think those are opportunities for me that I see, you know, affecting them because I believe, I like Adams, Henry Adams quote that says that a teacher affects eternity. We may not always tell how far our influence goes. So as I interact with these students and influence them, those are opportunities for me.
Yeah.
You know, to do my best and be what God has called me to be in this institution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. So how do you imagine working with colleagues across disciplines and even in your field? So are there intersections between math and other subjects that
yeah.
kind of excite you that you
yeah.
are thinking about? Yeah, tell
As
us
we
about
said,
that.
Math is everywhere. Math yeah. is everywhere. Yeah. So I'm going to be teaching, like right now I have students doing trigonometry who are in engineering.
Mm.
That's already an intersection there.
Yeah.
There's a connection there. I'm trying to see what math do they need to be successful in their career or rather in their, you know, programs. At some point I'll be teaching nurses. People are in nursing program. And so on. And therefore, I see a lot of connection with other departments or other disciplines. And I also, my preparation, my math education preparation is also prepares me for teaching math, foundational math for prospective elementary and early childhood teachers.
Yeah.
So I taught some of those courses back in Syracuse as an instructor of record. And so I hope to be of support also to the, you know, education department because they also have some, you know, programs with teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, probably be of also of help with in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I love the idea of mixing disciplines.
Yes.
And I know we've talked about that before on this podcast and there will be more,
yeah.
but I love the collaboration concept of yeah. we are not just our own discipline. We yeah. all intersect at some point. Like you were saying, math is everywhere. Tara says communication is everywhere. I tend to agree because you need it in all fields.
Yes.
But it's just, how do we figure out the best way to work together to bring those strengths together to
yeah.
make our students' education even better and well-rounded. And
yeah.
I think that also helps them see the applications better when they're cross-disciplinary
mm-hmm.
courses.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I wish there were more of those when I was in college because the idea is really cool to mix things.
Yeah.
I know my daughter had a teacher in fifth and sixth grade, I believe, who combined math, film, and what was the other one? There were three subjects he combined all into one assignment. So they had to do a cooking video.
Wow.
And so, but they could not do a recipe. They had to either do a half recipe or a two times recipe. Like they had to actually change what the numbers were in the recipe.
It's a lot of math.
Yeah. So they had to do math and then they had to, it was public speaking. I think it was speech type. So
nice.
They were creating a film.
Mm.
They had to present as though they were, you know, professionally presenting. They had to do the math for the recipe. Anyway, I just thought it's really cool because right there you're applying so many things. So
yep.
I love that idea.
yeah.
Do you see beauty, art, and creativity? Speaking of cross-disciplinary, do you see the beauty, art, and creativity in math? And what does that look like for you?
I see a lot of creativity in math.
Mm.
As we mentioned before, there's a lot of entry points in math. And as you try one strategy and you fail or make mistakes and then you try again, you are developing creativity. And I believe that's how most of the math was invented. People just trying out things and mm-hmm. just coming up with the things that are working. So that's creativity. And math can be represented in different ways. You can use, there's some math, you can use graphs, you can use tables, you can use
mm-hmm.
maybe word or story problems,
yes.
Or graphs, equations, and all that. So those, that multiple representation, that's creativity, you know, different ways of doing the same thing.
Yep.
It's the same thing, but it just represented in different ways.
And that's also communication.
It's communication
each
as well.
One of those things mm-hmm. communicates. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Yeah. There's Thank lots you. Of lots of parents in math. There's yeah. a lot of parents.
Mm-hmm.
And actually that's what, when students understand the parents, they get it.
Mm.
Once you know the pattern,
yeah,
then you have mastered it. You just need to know how does it happen? How is this sequence growing? Mm-hmm. Is it growing by adding? Is it subtracting or multiplying? And that leads to some very interesting formulas. So parents, mm-hmm. there's a lot of art. You know, yeah. I don't know how they do it, but they just draw and then they erase it. You know, if it doesn't look good. So they're trying this and that and that. And that happens in math as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's an art.
Yeah.
You know, try this, it doesn't work. You try another one until you get to the right answer. So I see all those. I see beauty. It's just beautiful. It's so satisfying when you've solved a problem and you got the right answer.
Yes. Yes.
You've solved a real problem using math. It's so yeah. satisfying.
Yes.
So there's all those in math.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I loved that aspect of math when I loved math because I loved that there were rules and there were formulas, but yeah. then there's also different ways of doing things. So yeah. it's like yeah. you have, there's a set of rules and then there's some freedom within that yeah. as well. And I'm sad that I lost that later, oh. you know, and I blame teachers, but I could have persevered more through
yes,
that
yes.
in college. But yeah, I was initially business major, yeah. but I got afraid of the math oh. in that. Mm-hmm. And so that I know that fear can really
yes.
be damaging, right? It can, you know, cause you to completely change directions in life. And
yeah.
so I'm glad that you're doing such a good job of helping students overcome that, that it's not just about the content and getting students to understand the formulas and the math, but,
yes.
but to kind of push through those other things and to see how much more it is, that creativity
yes.
in it.
Yes. You mentioned fear.
Yes.
Fear is a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there are days I used to be very fearful. Very fearful. And I couldn't try anything. Or rather, I was hesitant to try new things.
Yeah.
Explore things. And I'm like, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think I'm going to be as good as so-and-so.
Mm.
Fear is something that God has helped me overcome with time.
Mm.
There's a song I like by, is it Matthew West? Matt? I don't know his name, but
yeah,
somebody West.
Yeah. yeah.
He
yeah.
says that fear is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. He will rip your joy. You know the song?
Yes, yep. I do.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I was it's singing the other day and I said, I am not going to be afraid of anything. God help me. So fear is a thing that takes our joy. It takes our potentials. Mm. It takes our, it just makes us useless, makes us, yeah. leaves us powerless.
Does.
So we need to, you know, get rid of fear
yeah.
for anything. Not just math.
Or move forward anything. Despite it, I think.
Move forward.
Yeah.
Despite it, yes.
Yeah.
Fear is, you know, fear of making mistakes or looking
making
foolish.
Mistakes.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good to push through, though.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I want to talk about outside of your academic work, because
mm-hmm.
we kind of, good segue there, talking about music.
Yeah.
And you kind of talked about that earlier when we were chatting. What hobbies or interests do you enjoy?
Oh, hobbies. Music. I just love
yeah.
music. I'm just all music. In the house, I have this handbag-shaped Bluetooth that I walk around with when I'm cooking.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm in the bathroom, I just play my music and I can hear it when I'm showering. I just
yeah.
love good music. I okay. love Christian music, inspiring music,
mm.
calming music. I just want to sing and sing and sing and just... it takes me away from a lot of distraction
mm.
and inspires me. When I get, you know, listen to the words.
Yeah.
I love gardening. I do have a small garden up there growing some Kenyan vegetables.
Wow.
And I've got to enjoy, I've been enjoying a little bit of those. And walks make, you know, taking walks, walking in the mornings when I can, and spending time with my family.
Mm.
I just love, my family loves soccer. So much. They
yeah.
like, love watching soccer, and I also join them sometimes and support some of the teams out there.
Does your family have a team that you support?
No, actually, we are divided. My husband and I, and my husband and I, and our middle son. Of course, our daughter doesn't, just is everywhere. We support Arsenal in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. They like watching the Premier League.
Okay, yeah.
And then our elder son supports Liverpool. So there's usually some kind of disagreement there.
I like how you put that. Yes, a bit of disagreement.
Yes, mm-hmm. A bit of that.
A little bit of disagreement's okay, right?
Not too bad, yes.
Not too bad. Just some differences of opinions, that's okay.
Yeah, so we just spending time with family also. And
can you tell us a little bit about your family? Do you mind sharing?
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah, I am married to Liki. Dr. Liki actually has a doctorate in religion.
Okay.
Yeah. We have three children. Our eldest is a 15-year-old. He goes to prep. He's a sophomore.
Okay.
And then we have a 9-year-old who goes to PUCE. He's a fourth grader.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do have a 3-year-old who goes to Discoveryland.
Nice.
She's a girl. Yeah.
Okay, so two boys and a girl.
Two boys, yes. And a
girl. We kind of talked about this. I have two boys and then a girl also. Oh. And they're about equal age ranges apart.
Kind of like six years apart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or 7 years apart. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, I usually say that's a lot of time wasted. It's a lot of wasted time. Should have finished. You know, baby's business long
right,
time ago.
Back
but, you
to
know,
back.
Yeah.
Get it over with. It's always...
But, you know, yeah, it's, you know, God's time.
Yeah.
God's time. Yeah.
It was always challenging in our family to find something that everybody wanted to do. Because they're such different ages.
Yes.
Mm.
The only thing that they all liked to do was swim.
Oh.
Going to the pool was...
Yes.
Yeah. Anything else was a fight.
Yeah.
Well, my kids are closer together in age, mm-hmm. and it's still difficult to find something that all of them will do together. Mm. So I think it's just a personality thing.
Okay.
Yeah, the pros and cons of either one, right?
Yep,
so
for sure.
Yeah,
I want to know how you have a garden. How long have you been here?
Yeah, I was actually thinking that too.
I've been here almost 8 years.
Or maybe Kenyan vegetables grow much faster.
Well, you know, when we talked with Kathleen, when she was interviewing me, I asked her, are there gardens there?
Yeah.
And she told me, yes, we do have gardens that we rent, you know, faculty for a year. So when we got here, and my husband loves gardening too, because he enjoys those vegetables.
Yeah.
Actually, they are from his, where he comes from, because he's a different, we don't speak the same language as him.
Like, oh, really?
Mother tongue.
Okay.
Yeah. So his culture is different. So when we got here, we just, you know, we just had to get it.
Okay.
Immediately,
right,
like,
right.
Where's our garden? Where's our plot? So they said plot number 15, and so we were there with our with our tools, and we started just, you know, digging immediately. And I had some seeds that I have been keeping for over 10 years.
Really?
Yes. Kenyan vegetables.
Oh wow,
that is amazing. Kenyan,
yeah, seeds. Yeah. So we grew them immediately, or we planted them immediately. You know, and yeah. We've been eating some vegetables.
Really?
That's so great. I love that they have the gardens here.
Yeah.
Because not everybody has space at where they're living to have a garden and to be able to just be given access to a plot that is specifically for that.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
It's a big blessing. Yeah. It's a big blessing.
And they have water.
And
there
there's water there.
That you don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just water. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
The other day I was telling myself, you know, you got to work hard. At some point, I was giving up because the seedlings were not coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So the secret was we were not putting enough water.
Oh.
So I spoke to someone else. They told me, no, you need to pour as much water as possible. And guess what? In 3 days, they came out.
Oh, wow.
So I've been going there like every little time I get, just go and pour the water. And, you know, it's been doing very well. So, you know, hard work is everywhere. You just have to work hard and be... persevere and just,
that's true.
You know, just give it your best.
Yeah.
Wow. I am not very good at gardening.
Oh, my neighbor.
I kill all plants.
I have succulents. Mm. Those survive for me because I can forget to water them for weeks and they're just happy anyways.
Yeah.
And I have a next door neighbor who is a botanist. So I'm like,
it depends on the motivation. Are you motivated? Do you really want it? If you want it, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
You're going to do it.
That's fair. So, I don't like yard work. I don't like gardening.
Yeah.
It's not fun for me. So I'm not motivated to try.
Yeah. I have the motivation because I know the fruits thereof.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
What's your favorite Kenyan vegetable?
You want me to tell you the name?
Yes. I can describe it for us.
That would be great.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if I can describe it, but it's, I would try. It's called chinsaga. Okay. Chinsaga. It's not even, I said it's not, we don't grow it where I come from. Like my, you know, in Kenya, we have like over 70 languages and dialects, and mm-hmm. people are just everywhere. Like,
oh, wow.
So that's why I say, like, whatever my husband's area, whatever, where they live, they eat is different from where we live and the vegetables
Kenya?
We eat. He's from Kenya, but, you know, we have different ways of living.
Yeah.
Or rather. So different vegetables, different kinds of plants and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. So chinsaga is, it's a bitter, a little bit, not, it's a little bitter.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. When you cook it and, but it's that nice bitterness that's not so bad.
Is it a root vegetable or does it grow on?
No, it's leaves. We just, the leaves themselves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the leaves that we pluck and then we just boil them. And then you just can slice in some tomatoes. Mm. You just prepare it like very basic way, just simple and natural. You get to enjoy it a lot with ugali. Ugali, we like ugali. Ugali is a staple for Kenyan. It's made from corn, but here they use rice. They make flour, and then it's you make something like a paste, thick paste, and then you can eat it with the vegetables and some stew or something.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So do you cook for other people? I'm just asking for a friend.
I do.
I think she's fishing for an invite to try this.
I have never had Kenyan food. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, actually, we are planning to, you know, invite people to come and just, you know, taste some of the things that we eat.
Nice.
And you also bring what you eat, and then we can, you know, have some. Maybe during we have three birthdays coming up. My birthday is September 30th. My husband is October 28th, and our daughter is November 22nd. So we're planning to put everything together and maybe just the people around there and, you know, come and, you know, share with us. So you stay tuned.
I was at Andrews, I took a class called Issues in Intercultural Communication.
Yeah.
And that was by far my favorite class ever, undergrad, grad, any of it. And at the end of it, well, that class had 17 people in it and there were 11 countries and cultures represented in that room.
Yeah.
And at the end of the semester, we had all gotten to know each other so well and it had been such a close-knit group that we decided we wanted to do like a closing of the semester party. So we coordinated an international potluck for our class and everybody's families came. Everybody was asked to bring something from their culture, like a common or a favorite dish from their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a plethora of very interesting dishes from all over the world. And it was so cool. Yeah. And it's one of those trying new things, because you don't know if you're going to like it. You don't even know what it is that's in there half the time. Yeah. But I love that idea of just, it's a way to explore the world without having to spend the money on travel.
Yes.
Getting to know people who have experienced other cultures and trying things. So anyway,
that's true.
I think that's cool. We should do that here. We have plenty of people who have all sorts of backgrounds.
We do have an intercultural communication class as well.
Mm. I'll just take that one just for fun.
Yeah.
Once I finish my degree, I'm going to get done first.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, we've talked a lot about you and your hobbies and your professional background and all of that. Is there anything you haven't shared with us that you think would surprise people?
I speak 5 languages.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Whoa.
And I would love to learn Spanish.
Okay.
I want to learn Spanish.
What are the 5 that you speak?
Those are just local languages. Like I told you, I speak my mother tongue, Kamba. And then I speak my husband's language. I go to learn it. Because I just wanted to relate with his people.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
You know, I just fit in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And before we came to the U.S., we lived in another community that speaks a different language. Mm. My husband was ministering there as a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to learn. I tried to learn the language of the people we were ministering
yeah.
among.
Yeah.
And so that was Luo people. Mm. And then I've learned so how many are those?
Three.
Kamba, three. Okay. Of course, English.
Mm-hmm.
Learned English. Then Swahili. Swahili okay. is like a second mother tongue in Africa, in Kenya, so okay. to speak. Yeah. So I speak those five.
Nice. Wow.
And I would like to learn Spanish.
Yeah.
I just like connecting with the people.
Yes.
And just speaking their language
mm-hmm.
as much as I can and just putting myself in their shoes and just feel how they feel.
Yeah.
And just see the world from their point of view. I don't know, but
yeah,
I just like languages.
Well, you can take a Spanish class here.
Yeah, I should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I enjoy Spanish.
It's a benefit.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I enjoy Spanish songs a lot. Yeah.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, I like how they sing, even the hymns.
Mm.
It's just so nice.
We should have a church service where we sing some hymns, like a verse in a different language.
Mm.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. Yeah, I'll teach you something in Swahili.
That would be amazing. All right, I'm putting that idea down. I gotta tell Pastor Len.
There you go. I cannot yeah. speak any other language. I have tried.
Uh huh.
But I need to persevere.
Yes, and guess what? My doctorate was in math education. I did research in the language of mathematics.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I believe that math is a language. Is a language. And to people who do not speak English, math is actually a third language.
Mm. Interesting.
Because you have to comprehend things in a language that you don't know.
Yeah.
So it's a third True. Language. And some it's even the fourth language. So, yeah. So I was looking at how do people who do not speak English, what are some of the things they draw from to understand or comprehend story problems that are written in English.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I had never thought about that. Okay, so you speak six languages then.
Yeah.
You speak math.
Oh, yeah, because math. Yes,
there you
yes.
go.
Got it. Six languages, yes.
There you go.
Oh,
updated.
You got it. You're a thinker.
Well, sometimes.
No, always.
Mm-hmm.
Always, yes.
Always thinking.
So what are you most looking forward to this year at PUC? In the classroom, campus, community, what are you looking forward
connections.
To?
Connections okay. and just connecting with my students. I can't wait to meet them.
Mm.
I'm going to send them a math autobiography a week before because I want to know them before I get to see them.
Oh,
so
I
they will
like
tell me
that.
Who they are, you know, a little bit about their experiences with math, if they like it or not, you know, and just what they are expecting. To get out of my class and all that. So just making that connection and with the students, of course, and also, you know, people around here like you, lovely people here. I'm already making connections here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's... and, of course, being of use around here and just impacting lives that I get to meet with, more especially my students as I teach them.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Well, we're glad to connect with you.
Yeah.
Me too. Me too.
If you had to name the impact you'd want to leave, the legacy, if you will, during your time here at PUC, what kind of mark would you like to leave here?
Oh, goodness. That's a tough one because sometimes I don't even know how people see me and I don't want to know how they see me.
Mm.
If it's not a positive, if it's a bad, in a bad way, just tell me.
Mm.
It's going to hurt a little bit, but then I'll see how I can improve myself. Mm. So I cannot really define what people are going to perceive of me or how they're going to feel, the impact they're going to feel out of me, but I just want to do my best.
Mm.
And be there to support my students. Um, And I know there's a lot of needs. You know, there's not just addressing academic needs. There are students coming with a lot of other emotional, you know, needs and all that.
Yeah.
Because I've had an experience with, you know, those kind of a student who comes to class and always late. And that was in the college I was teaching. And she was running behind in her assignments. And then one day she comes after everyone else is gone and just burst into tears in front of me. I'm like, what's going on here? Because I was asking her, why are you behind in your work? And she was like, don't worry, I'm getting it. I'm getting it all together. But Saturday she comes and just pours her tears. And I'm like, what do I do? Can I pray with you? I pray. And then she later opens up and tells me all that her struggles with a premature baby. She has to, she's single. She has to work and, you know. And so I see it's more than just teaching. There's a lot of things that go, you know, on in the lives of students. And so I don't know really what I can say, but whatever comes my way that I need, that is in my power to help, I will do that. Whatever people are going to say is the impact I've left, it's up to them. It's up to them. So I want to do good. And do the best that I can.
Yeah.
I leave the rest to God.
That's great. That's all we can do usually.
So. Well, thank you so much for being here today and chatting with us. It's been really good getting to know you, and I look forward to continuing that as you continue your time here and start your school year. And so good luck, blessings on all of that.
Thank you for having me. You know, it's been a good experience just trying to recount my life and where I am and where I'm heading to. So I appreciate this opportunity.
Wonderful. Share. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, for those of you listening, if today's conversation gave you a new perspective, sparked a question, or stirred something worth sitting with, subscribe to the podcast so you can keep exploring with us. We're here to uplift, encourage, and remind you you're not alone in this journey.
And if you're on Instagram, follow us at @uncharted_PUC for uplifting campus stories, fresh perspectives, and a little inspiration for the road ahead. Until next time, explore boldly, care deeply, and lead bravely.